Welcome to the City Point Church podcast. Thanks for joining us. Every day is an opportunity to take hold of. So we hope this message inspires you and builds your faith, that it helps you have more of a God perspective for your day. Enjoy.
If you're excited, let's confess out loud boldly. Today my heart is open. My ears are alert to grow and change. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, take a seat. I'll keep you standing all day otherwise. I was actually just thinking they've been standing a long time. All right, I just want to read a scripture to put a foundation from 1 John 4, 7 to 11. And I read generally the New King James Version. And I'm not one of those preachers or people that believe there's one version. I just think that that's just rubbish, just to be quite honest. There's not just one version. There's not a better. They're all interpretations, all right? So, but what you do is whenever we preach or talk scripture to the church body or in life groups and things like that, we cross-reference all the different versions of the Bible, okay? And we go back as much as we can into Greek and Hebrew, and we try to, and then we pray and we ask the Holy Spirit to show us the truth and the revelation that he wants to bring out today. And so interpretations help us to do that. So, but as I say all that, I do just pretty much use the New King James. It is kind of the best. So I told Tobin the other day, anyway, I'm just dribbling. Let's just read. Let's get into the Bible. All right. 1 John 4 says this, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God." Mic drop right there. "For God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." We also ought to love. So love is of God. If we don't love, we don't know God. That's a big one right there. And God loved us even when we didn't love him. You can reject God all day long and he still loves you. Isn't that amazing? So today, this is what I want to do, is I want to shine a light on what we call counterfeit love. And I want to talk to us about unconditional love. I want to shine a light and expose today counterfeit love. This is good. Are you ready to come on a little bit of a journey with me through these verses? So there's a love called counterfeit that appears the same as real love, but it's shallow. It leaves people longing for more in the hope it would fulfill the deeper side of them. But it never does, and it never will. Now, it feels good. It's emotional. It wants you while it wants you. It'll spit you out in the end. And it gratifies briefly. Sometimes it gratifies for a season, and sometimes it even gratifies for years. But it's counterfeit love. It's counterfeit love. But in the world today, people think that this is real love. And so we're going to expose it today, and I'm going to teach you about real love. Because real love is unconditional. Real love also feels good. It's emotional. It's there even when you reject it. And it will never leave you wanting for more. Deep inside, we always will know that it's there. That it's stable. That it's pure. That it's true. And that it's unconditional. This love isn't an it. It's not a feeling. This love isn't an emotion. It's a he, because God is real love. So this is what I'm going to do today. I've never really preached like this, but I'm going to ask myself, because you don't know what to ask yet, So I'm going to ask a number of questions, and then I'm just going to go through answering these questions. And on this journey through the message, we'll unpack what this really is and what it looks like. So first question is, where is real love? Where is this type of real love? Verse 7 said this. It said, "Let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." Real love is found in God, not in a relationship with somebody or in a person, another person. Real love isn't in a moment or many years together, like in marriage, or the approval of other people, your peers, your friends, your family. That's not where real love is found. These are all counterfeit forms for a counterfeit love. Let me say that again. These forms of another person, your marriage, relationships, any way sexual, any way that you think you might find love, these are all counterfeit forms for a counterfeit love. They are not love. They're counterfeit. So where is this real love? Simply, it's in God. So the next question is how do we access this love? Verse 9 said this, "In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him." So to access God's love, we must live through him. Or we live through God, or we live through Jesus. So to access true love today, we live through God, and that's how we... But let's just park that thought. Can we do that? Can you do that in your mind? Let's just park that thought of living through Jesus to access real love. We'll just park it over here, and we'll come back to it in a moment. The next question is, so what is this love? Well, verse 10 said, "In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us." So God's love for you doesn't require your acceptance. You need to hear this morning. Real love doesn't require anything from you. Real love is of God. We access it through Jesus and requires absolutely nothing from you. God's love for you doesn't require acceptance. So what is this love then? Well, the scripture is showing us today that it's unconditional. That's what it is. Hallelujah. It's an unconditional love. Now, the only way to love or to be loved in such a way that we feel secure and complete all the time and is not dependent on how we act or how life is made, this love doesn't really matter about the things you've done wrong. This love doesn't matter. It doesn't matter about your past or what you're dealing with in your life right now. Love, that doesn't matter to love. Love doesn't even acknowledge it. Love doesn't see things like we do and judge and have criteria that we have to meet in order to be loved or have love. Is to receive unconditional love from God and give unconditional love by living out who God is. So we receive unconditional love from God, and then we have the ability to give unconditional love by living out who God is. Which is interesting, isn't it, when you really think about it? I can say all the words, but you have to answer all the questions that come into your mind, because we can say we receive unconditional love, but we can give now unconditional love, but through God, that's an interesting concept. God's unconditional love is for all of humanity, and I want you just to hear this for a second. No matter what you have done, no matter what you've said, no matter your color, no matter your race, no matter your background, no matter your age, no matter your sex, male or female, no matter your status in life, or if you're simply a stranger on the street, God's unconditional love is for all of humanity. And we ought to try and do the same. Why? Because love does. Let me say that again. We ought to do the same as what God has done for us because love does. Love does. It's a fruit of love is doing. Love is not experienced. It is not known unless it's been done. You can say you love somebody, but unless you do something to show the love, they will never understand what you feel. Does that make sense? It's just like respect. You can say, I respect my elders, but then you talk to them like rubbish. Well, they won't feel the respect, will they? So you can want that or you can think that about yourself all you want, but unless you learn to do, to use actions to those words, it will never be experienced on the other side of the coin. So we can say we love people. We can say, no, I love black, I love white. We can say, I love, older people or younger people, or I love my community, I pray for them all the time. But if we do nothing, the community will have no idea that the church loves them. It's the hands and the feet of the commission that Jesus has put into our lives. We can say, I'm a son or I'm a daughter of God, and now I have a great commission. I live as an example, but you don't tell anybody about Jesus. You don't pray for the healed, for them to... How does the world... The Bible says, how will they hear the gospel if no one preaches? How will the world know that our God heals if no Christians are praying for healing for people's lives? Love does. How will your friends hear the gospel if you don't share it? Because no one else will. You're the Christian. So if you don't share it, they're not going to hear the gospel. So love does. Someone won't feel respect unless we respect them through words and actions. Because love does. Love does. So we ought to do the same, the Bible is teaching. So this leaves me with two questions. The first one is, how do we live through God? How do we actually live through Jesus? And then why does this even work? So how does, and why does living through Jesus, why does it work? So the first one is how do we live through Jesus? Bob Goff said this. Now, Bob Goff wrote a book called Love Does. It's a very powerful book. And he said this. He says, fully loving and fully living are synonyms and are the kind of life that Jesus invited us to be part of. So Jesus has invited you to be part of something that he is. And he has invited you to fully love and fully live. See, when you become a Christian, you don't lose life, you gain life. And how do you gain life? By learning to love. Why does that matter? Because God is love. And so if you call yourself a Christian, you got the title, that means you must have love to give. And so fully living is when you learn to fully love people. And fully love is powerful, and we're going to get there in a moment to unpack. But 1 Corinthians 13 says this, and this is how we know how to do this through Jesus. Because fully living is practicing, it's adopting, and it's choosing to better ourselves by doing our best to adopt attributes. You want to hear what the attributes are this morning? You'll find them in 1 Corinthians 13 in your Bible. It says this. It says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself and it's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. That's powerful there. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. And it endures all things. Love never fails. And then let's skip over to verse 13, and it says this. And now abide. All right, so the writer is saying this. And now I'm going to simplify this for you, okay, to make it palatable. Now abide, which means to continue to keep present. So now continue to keep present. Three things: faith, hope, and love. And then I love it. When I was reading the Bible, it just popped out at me. It says, these three. It's like it was popping out of my Bible saying, Graham, these three are really important: faith, hope, and love. And I just felt like, okay. And then I started to look into faith, hope, and love, and to understand the importance. And then the writer goes, but hang on, if you can't get your head around it, Graham, I'll make it even simpler. The greatest of these is love. The greatest of things is love. So love must be pretty powerful if it's going to be the greatest, right? And if all of those attributes start to come out when we love. Bob Goff says this. He says, I used to think being a believer was enough. And I used to think that too. But now I know that Jesus wants us to participate, no matter what condition we're in. See, we are called to participate. We aren't called to just be saved and receive, but to participate, which means give now. To give. So how do we live through Jesus? Well, here's the answer. We participate in unconditional love. In other words, we don't envy the attributes. We don't parade ourselves. We don't behave rudely. But we participate in living through Jesus' attributes. If you want to learn how to participate here with the love of God, with who God is, with the Great Commission, for it to flow through your life, read 1 Corinthians and brainwash yourself with these attributes, because they are Christian attributes. They are the attributes of living a Christian life. They are Jesus' attributes. It's the Word of God. And when we stop trying to get love fulfilled in us through somebody else, because who knows, you know, I'm 40 years old, and I look good. We're just elephant in the room, okay? I look 35, I know, okay? Let's just move on, all right? I'm 40 years old, and I've learned something. I've actually learned that people, humanity, you and I, we want love really bad. This is the truth, okay? You want love really, really bad. And that's why we look for it in the counterfeit love, because counterfeit love is easy, but it only gratifies you for a moment, maybe a season or even a few years. And you might be married for a few years and now you're thinking of being unmarried because they aren't satisfying you. They aren't fulfilling the love tank inside of you. But here's the thing, is that love tank wasn't built for another human being. It was built for God to fill. Not your spouse, not a friend, not a relationship, not a work colleague, not success in life, not business in life. Nothing fulfills that tank. God designed that tank inside of you, and He designed it for Him. You know, Hillsong, Brooke Fraser sang a song. Is it Brooke Fraser? I'm just making things up. It's Plum. Yeah, not even Hillsong. Great. There's a God-shaped hole in all of us. Here's the thing about it. Is it's a God-shaped hole, and it's called love. And only the love of God, or God who is love, can feel that inside of you. Humanity, every single one of us, from the day Adam was first made on the earth to the day when Jesus comes back again, we will all be searching out love. But we have adopted a counterfeit love, and it's wrecking with us. It's screwing up our minds and our emotions and our bodies, and we can't even remain married anymore. We can't even remain Christians and faithful to God anymore, because we're trying to fill what God has designed for Him with what the devil is giving us, which is counterfeit. And no marriage, the greatest thing I ever learned in my marriage, if you're married in this place, this is one of the best tips you'll ever get. Okay, and I've lived it. I know it. I experience it. Now I'm going to testify of it. Melanie will never fulfill me, no matter what. Sexually, emotionally, relationally, she will never, ever fulfill me. My fulfillment comes from God and God alone. And I become a better husband when I get my fulfillment from God, not her. Because while I want my fulfillment from Melanie to fix me and to fulfill me, I'm degrading what God has made her, the person God's made her to be. And I'm degrading her from the amazing woman of God. And I'm trying to make her my fix when God is my fix. We need to put God back on the throne, back in the place that He is, and He is the one that fills the hole in humanity. When we will do that, we will see a restored earth. And here's the great thing. Here's the great thing. Just a moment. Here's the great thing. Is it will never happen again till Jesus comes back. So just give up on it. Give up on it. You will only get fulfilled through God. The more, the closer we get in relationship with God, the more you'll feel fulfilled. And then when Jesus comes back, it will be a party because we'll have the ultimate fulfillment that we, humanity, has never, ever experienced. No matter how great your prayer is in your relationship with God, it will never, ever be what it will be when Jesus comes back. Because that love, that hole inside of you would be filled in an unconditional way that we can't even fathom with our minds. But on the journey, church, let's draw closer to Jesus and let Him fill up that tank inside of you. And stop asking for it from friendships, relationships, marriages, work colleagues, success of life, because it won't do anything except for lead you away from God. That's what it does. Counterfeit. Come on. It's the plan of... I'm getting passionate here today. Someone's going to have to pull me back. So, it's the counterfeit love of the enemy. It's designed to draw you away from God, who's the answer of it. That's what counterfeit does. It draws you away from real. But He is real love. God, and you thought today's message was going to be soppy love. I tell you what, backbone Christianity. Let's get back to God on our knees. Come on. I'll see you at the prayer meeting tonight. Because Christians pray. Let's fill our love tank and then partner with Jesus to bring that unconditional love into the world. Can I go on one more tangent? When you do that, that's how people get saved. Because I've just explained, every human desires love like nothing else. Truth, self-reflect for just a moment. Everything you do, really, at its source, you're just trying to get that love. Acceptance from somebody, the feeling of success in your business or whatever it is. When you put your hand to, even if it's just building houses and renovating and things like that, you want it to be the best. Because my dad used to always say this to me when I was doing up my charger, okay? Because I'd put every second and every cent of my life into my charger. And he used to always say, Graham, if there was nobody on planet Earth, would you still do the car up the same way? Because here's the reality. If there's no one to show it to, so at the core of it, I'm looking for some sort of, man, that's the best car I've ever seen. That's the fastest. You win all the races. I'm after something. At the core of everything, we are really searching for that hole of love to be filled in our life. That hole of love to be filled in our life. When you allow that love that you and I have received from God, unconditional, pure, doesn't require somebody to behave a way. They can be sinners, they can be murderers, they can be whatever they are, drug dealers. Unconditional love doesn't see any of that. It sees a human being in need. It sees somebody that needs Christ. And when we partner with Jesus and allow that to come through us, not just to us, through us to somebody else, they then have the opportunity to receive the thing they've been looking for their whole life, the love of Jesus. Can you see that? Let's not try and fix people with religious words and religious actions. I want you to hear this, okay? I do not care who walks through these doors. I do not want one of you to judge them. Can you receive that today? I don't ever want somebody to walk through these doors and I hear that somebody has said something, that they're not living right, that God won't love them, that, you know, God will judge them or they need Jesus, all that sort of stuff. I don't want to hear it, not in this church. Okay? What I want to see and what I want to hear is unconditional love. Come on, you received it. Let's give it to somebody else. Unconditional love. Let Jesus do the change. You know, the more I studied, I'm doing my master's at the moment. I've studied a year in Hebrew. Okay, I'm not trying to say I'm brilliant, but the more I study, the more I realize I've got nothing to give. The more you get into God, the more you realize you actually just have nothing. I never get up here thinking I've got something precious to say today. I always go, God, I'm just going to preach your word because I really got nothing to add. Because it's the power of the Holy Spirit that brings revival. It's the Holy Spirit, not church, not you, not me, nothing. We are called just to be the church and shine the light of the world, to preach the gospel, not to preach my doctrine or your doctrine or what we think or this and that, to preach the pure word, pure, untainted, just speak the words of the Bible, okay? And if you're like, well, I'm speaking the Old Testament, well, love fulfilled it. Leave that doctrine aside. Love fulfills the Old Testament. Didn't do away with it. Love fulfills the Old Testament. Just love and let God do it. He will do the rest. Amen. You believe that? You receive that today? All right. Anyway, I better get to this next question. I gotta get passionate right now because I love this one. Why does this work? Why does it work? Here's the answer. Because love is crazy powerful. It's so powerful that humanity craves it all the time and has for all generations. It's so powerful that the devil uses a counterfeit lust version of it, but it's counterfeit. It's so powerful that God actually is it. That's how powerful it is. And it's so powerful that love fulfills the Old Testament law to restore us to God. You need to hear this. If you here today feel like you need restoration, here's the answer. Run to God, because He is love and He will restore you. Love fulfills the Old Testament law. How do I know? Well, Romans 8:13 says this. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Verse 9, for the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there's any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. So this is telling us that the attributes we have just read in 1 Corinthians is a result of God's unconditional love. So how can we have God's unconditional love and also be givers of God's unconditional love and still commit adultery or murder or steal? No matter the feelings and emotions we feel, the truth is when we operate in this love, its power will overcome our pain. And I've worded it like that because of this. If somebody has done something unexplainable to you in your past, the love of God can overcome that pain and allow you to forgive. And if you were the perpetrator or have ever been, in your past, maybe in your present even, the love of God is so powerful that it can forgive you and bring change in your life. Redemption. That's how powerful the love of God is. Why is the love of God so powerful like that? Because love is God. God is love. That's the power and the wonder and the joy of our God. How amazing is our God. So no matter your past, there's many people sitting here right now and a long, long time ago. Things have been said and done that are unfair, not right. You can be released of that right now if you want to be. I've felt the word when I was praying before today's services that God wants to restore people today. Amen. Restoration comes through the love of God. Restoration doesn't come violence to violence. Restoration doesn't come from running, from sex, from drugs, from alcoholism. They're all counterfeit versions. They might satisfy you for a moment, for a season, or even for many years, but you're always longing deep down inside for some sort of fulfillment. Here's the good news, is the love of God. And here's the better news, it's unconditional. It's for you, and all you have to do is say, God, fill me with this love. And I believe this, as you take that step today, and then the next step is say, God, help me to show that love now. God will give you the ability to forgive and to love even the perpetrator. One of the greatest powerful testimonies I've heard comes from Mel. When she went to Cambodia, she could see all the victims of Cambodia, the young girls. She could see things happening in front of her, vans pulling up, trying to steal children. Unbelievable, hey? And she could see those men, the perpetrators, nothing, powerless to do anything. Or was she? See, what people didn't know that day was standing at a distance was my wife, seeing these things. And while the rest of the world was powerless, all power was inside of her. Because she had the love of Christ inside of her. That person just standing at the distance prayed for those people. And now God can do what only God can do, because Melanie prayed and released God, released love, released the ability for forgiveness and strength. That's the power of being a Christian. You know, during COVID, I've been praying for people and I can't touch them and anoint them with oil. So they're anointing themselves. Seems weird, but that's the power of God. God doesn't care who's touching them with oil. Oh, there's no oil. God doesn't care. His power, authority, and love. Melanie, in that time, as much as her heart and all of our hearts break for those young children in Cambodia, God broke her heart for the perpetrators. And you might think, how could that happen? It's the love of God. See, because it's unconditional. God doesn't see what they're doing. God sees the broken person, the broken heart that would allow them to do that. God sees the abuse that's gone on. And God touches us Christians. And he says, now pray the love of God over their lives. Perpetrator or victim. Pray the love of God over their lives, because the love of God in one moment can bring restoration. That's how powerful it is. No matter what words, you don't need a platform, you don't need a microphone, you don't need a preaching team, you just need the love of God. And allow God to do what God does. Let's just do what we're called to do. And allow the love of God, or allow God into us and then through us. I just want to finish with these couple of thoughts. 1 John 3:18 says this, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but let us love in deed and in truth. You can tell people you love them all day long, but unless you actually love them, they're not going to receive it. They're not going to know it. Love in deed and in truth. During Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s acceptance speech for the Nobel Peace Prize in 1964, he said these words. He said, I believe that unarmed truth and unconditional love will have the final word in reality. Don't we know that to be true? The final word on planet Earth in reality, the devil thought when he hung Jesus on a cross that he had victory, but Jesus had the final word. The final word on planet Earth will be unconditional love, not counterfeit love, not running to the world, not other things. The final word, you bet your bottom dollar, will be the love of Christ will have the final word. No matter your age or where you are, if you need love today, you need to run to God and you need to let Him quench your thirst. Drugs, sex, violence, marriage won't give you the love you need, but only God does. Amen. You receive that today? I just want to say this one more time. If you need love today, you need to run to God. Are you prepared to do that this morning? If you need love today, if you can self-reflect right now and go, you know what, you got to understand what I'm talking about here. This isn't a salvation issue. You can be a Christian and still need the love of God. That's an interesting one for theology right there. Because God is love. But sometimes we accept Jesus but look to the world to fill our love tank. And so you might even be a Christian today and you are feeling the desires, you feel empty, you know that there's more to life. Sometimes you're hurting, you feel alone quite often because you can be lonely in a house full of people. And so you might be lonely quite often. You need to run to Jesus. And you need to say, God, only your love can fill this. Not that thing or that person anymore. Not that career. Only you. Run to Jesus. Can we all just close our eyes for a moment? I'm just going to just pray for two quick categories. If that's you this morning and you're a Christian, you're a believer in God, you've given your heart to God, but you still feel empty inside. And sometimes that might even draw you to sort of wanting to walk away from God and walk away from church because you feel empty and it just doesn't make sense. Well, that's not because God's done anything. That's because we need to run back to God. If that's you right now, could you just work with God? Could you partner right now with God? Can you do the does to love does? Can you do something right now? And can you just confess to yourself? I don't need to hear it. Just to yourself. And just say, God, I'm running into you. I'm running into you. I don't want to have a title and a badge as a Christian, but not feel like I'm actually a Christian, like the Bible says I should. Full of joy, full of hope, full of love, full of vision, full of faith. God, I actually want to be that person. God, I choose, I'm going to run back to you. And then this is what you need to do with that. It comes back to the basics. Prayer and read the Bible. Prayer and read the Bible. Can I encourage you to up it by 10 minutes a day? That's all I'm going to say. If you don't pray at all, just 10 minutes. Just for 10 minutes a day, just read a chapter or read a few verses of your Bible and then sit there and just pray, which is literally just talk to God, tell Him how you feel, and you will see as the weeks go by, as the time goes by, you'll feel the love and the strength and all those attributes that we read in 1 Corinthians start to flow through as you build your relationship with God and allow His love to fill your life, to fill the tank. You'll get to a point where that love will start to overflow into other people. Why spend all of our life searching in other people and other things and be let down time after time when just a few months pursuing this with God will change your whole life? And it'll be over and done with when you feel the love of God. Amen. Can I just ask, while our eyes are closed, just a second category is, you might be here today hearing this and you want to receive God because God is love, and you've never given your heart to God before, maybe a friend has brought you here today or a family member, and you would like to give your heart to God, I'm not going to ask you to come out the front. I just want to pray in a second. I just want to know who I'm about to pray with. So every eye is closed. Would you just boldly lift your hand and just say, that's me. I want to give my heart to you today, God. Could you just boldly do that right now? Then you can just put it down. It's going to look a couple more times. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just lift your hand just boldly. Let's give you that opportunity. I see your hand there, ma'am. You can put that down. Thank you, Jesus. It's really good. Thank you, Jesus. Well, let's just pray. I'm just going to pray for you.